This is The Source on KSTX, a product of the Texas Public Radio Newsroom. I'm David Martin Davies. In an aggressive move designed to crack down on the free spending outside political groups, the Obama administration is proposing strict new rules seeking to bridle political nonprofits like Karl Rove's Crossroads GPS and the pro-Obama Priorities USA. The draft proposal released last week by the Treasury Department would keep so-called social welfare 501c4 nonprofits from getting tax exemption if they engaged in too much candidate-related political activity. We're going to be talking about that this half hour on The Source. We encourage you to call in. The number is 614-8980. If you've got a question or comment, 614-8980. You could also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org. And we are joined by Brian Kemp, a Texas Tech law professor and former IRS office chief counsel. Welcome back to The Source, Professor Kemp.
Well, thank you very much.
So, Professor, let me ask you, this year we had the IRS targeting scandal. Has that played out? Are we moved on from that scandal?
Oh, I don't think it's played out in certain quarters of the United States or certain parts. I think some of us are a little tired of reading about it on Paul Caron's blog, but it's still out there, and it kind of flares up every once in a while. These regulations that are proposed were in the works before that scandal hit the public, though. I think it's interesting that they ultimately came out of a petition for a petition. I forget who submitted the petition for regulation or for rulemaking, but there was a July 17th, 2012 letter from Lois Lerner that was published back in September of 2012 that explains exactly that these regulations are coming out, watch for them, and here we are a year later and some change later with the proposed regulations.
Yeah, these regulations move rather slowly, and from what I can gather from reading about this, it's still years away if they do survive this vetting process.
I think that's an accurate read of the regulations. Another way to think about them is it's kind of the opening gambit by the Internal Revenue Service and Treasury. That is, these positions that are sketched out in the proposal form are probably positions where the Treasury is expecting a lot of pushback and will probably retreat from. It's unlikely that you would see a proposed regulation go farther or further, if you will, in directions. So in other words, for example, one of the bright line rules they create here is a prohibition on any communications, whether neutral or not, within, I think, 30 days of a general election or 60 days of a primary. I may have that backwards. They may get some pushback on that. You wouldn't expect to see the final regs extend that period.
Okay, so the core of the new proposal is candidate-related political activity. It's not even issue-related political activity. You could still put out ads opposed to Obamacare or tax law or whatever and still be very active in the political sphere.
Yes, and it's interesting. I think one interesting aspect of these regulations is they – in my view, try to realign what counts as political activity for C4 purposes more towards what has been traditionally understood as political activity counting for 527 purposes and somewhat away from what the 503 rules have been. You're absolutely right that the 501c3s, for example, what are labeled charitable organizations, they cannot participate in any way in a campaign that is on behalf of or in opposition to any candidate. So anything having to do with a candidate, it's the third rail. It's death to the tax-exempt status of a C3. C4s traditionally have been able to engage in more of those types of activities as long as they were still primarily engaged in social welfare. And so the definition of the type of political activity that counted against your 501c4 status was traditionally sort of aligned with the notion of what was that third rail death shock of C3 activities. In contrast, when Congress passed 527 in the 1970s, they created sort of a broader idea. And that's because 527s are kind of a flip side of 501c3s and c4s as far as political activity goes. 501c3s and c4s are not supposed to participate in political activity. 501c3s to one extent, 501c4s to another. They'll lose their exempt status if they do too much of that.
Now, isn't it according to the law as originally written, they're supposed to be exclusively for social welfare? That and so, but that has been diluted in policymaking and in actual process over the years.
That, yes, and it's been that way since the 1920s. It's nothing that's new or different. The statute has always said you have to be organized exclusively for some purpose, and the way that statute has been administered from time out of mind has been you have to be organized primarily for that purpose. The other types of it's just that we start with the proposition that all entities are taxable, and so when Congress gives this exemption, you have to qualify for it. And the way that the exemptions have historically, since 1913, been administered, they haven't been as detailed in the statutes, but they've been administered with the notion that there's some degree of political activity allowed. And the kind of political activity that is allowed or prohibited is, as you said earlier, it's carved into campaign for political offices by politicians on the one hand, and issue campaigning on the other.
Right. So the idea, the real crutch of this is the being tax exempt. That's what some of these organizations are gunning for. It gives that's quite a privilege, and they don't like being asked a lot of questions to gain tax exemption. They're claiming that's a form of harassment.
Right. And what's interesting is that a 527 organization is tax exempt when it engages in political activity. That is, the very activity that gets you knocked out of tax exemption as a 501c3 organization or C4 organization or a C5 or C6 organization, all the ones listed there, the very activity that nukes you for your tax-exempt status there is what enables you to be tax-exempt under 527.
And then there's this whole other element of secrecy, being able to keep secret who your donors are. And that's another – go ahead real quickly.
That's the price you pay. If you want to be a 527 organization, there is more disclosure required for your donor lists and stuff like that than – for your 501c3, C4, C5 organizations.
All right, Brian Camp, I got to let you go. Thank you so much for joining us. Texas Tech Law Professor, former IRS Chief Counsel, explaining some of the new proposed rules coming down from the IRS that could help clear up politics and money and nonprofits. This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. In the next half hour, we're going to be talking about the proposal to close part of Main Street downtown to allow HEB to expand its headquarters. But right now, we're discussing a new proposed IRS rules that could clamp down on political spending by groups that seek tax-deductible nonprofit status. Joining the conversation now is Fred Wertheimer, president of Democracy 21, an organization that is outspoken about the role that money plays in our political system. Welcome, Mr. Wertheimer, to the show.
Thank you. Good to be with you.
Let me ask you first off, are you a 501c4 or one of those things?
Yes, we're a 501c4. But we do not engage in any kind of campaign activity.
So you don't run ads saying that...
We don't run any ads or of any kind or conduct any kind of campaign-related activity.
Okay. Our phone lines are open. We've got a couple of calls. I will get to them in just a second. The number is 614-8980, 614-8980. So, Mr. Wertheimer, what's your reaction to these proposed rules coming from the Treasury Department?
Well, two reactions. One, we're glad the Treasury Department has finally moved to try to clear up the murky rules which have been used as an excuse by organizations to spend large amounts of secret contributions in federal elections. We had more than $300 million in secret contributions spent in the last national election by C organizations, most of which was spent by C4 organizations. So we are, and we have been involved in a lawsuit calling on the IRS to adopt new regulations. So we're pleased by that part of it. But there are key issues that remain to be resolved here as to whether this is going to serve the goal of shedding light on the dark money that is pouring into our elections. I want to make one other point about what this is about. This is not about telling organizations that they can't spend money on campaigns and politics. What this is about is telling them that if they want to do that, they ought to do it under the section of the tax code that was created for these kinds of political expenditures, and that requires disclosure of donors and campaign expenditures. What we're saying is the 501c4s are required by statute to make expenditures exclusively on social welfare activities. And the rules make clear that campaign activity is not social welfare activity. So we're basically saying if you want to do political work, fine, but set up a Section 527 group and disclose what you're doing.
All right, Mr. Wertheimer, thank you for that. We're going to go now to the calls. The number to join the conversation, 614-8980, 614-8980. Bonnie is on the line. Bonnie, welcome to The Source.
Thank you. I wanted to ask about where the fine line might be between what would be considered issue advertising, campaigning, and public education advertising and campaigning.
Okay, Bonnie, thanks for that question.
Well, there is a line, and that's something you have to determine by establishing rules. I mean, there are certain areas where it's quite clear. If an advertisement says vote for or vote against an individual, that is clearly a campaign ad. What has happened in the past and where a lot of these abuses occurred is that people would run advertisements that were attacking public officials, clearly intended to influence the elections, but did not have this express advocacy.
Right. They never said the actual words, vote for Joe Schmo.
Yeah, they didn't say vote for or vote against, but they were really sham issue ads. So you need to establish some rules that will prevent people from evading disclosure to voters of where their money is coming from, while at the same time leaving room for legitimate issue advertisement. Obviously, if an ad doesn't mention a candidate for office, that is going to be clearly an issue ad, and it's not going to be covered by campaign rules. One of the ways that proposals have dealt with this is to say, look, if you're running ads that are in the period when our elections are running, even if you're discussing issues, if you're also discussing members, you're going to influence voters. And there we're not saying don't run the ads. We're just saying disclose the donors so that voters know who is behind the ads that are influencing their votes and election results in this country.
Okay, back to the phones. The number is 614-8980. We've got two Kathys up here. Kathy, you're on the air. Kathy, this is the Kathy. Go ahead.
Hello, yes?
Yes, you're on the air, Kathy.
Okay, all right. I have a question. Why is it that if you want to give money to a cause and an education that you truly believe in, but it's a conservative one, you really don't want to give your name out, because in many, many cases, and I've seen some of them documented on the news, mostly the conservative channels, that once you give a large amount to a cause, educating people about what's happening, if you've got the word constitution or something like that in your cause, then you are going to be audited by the IRS. There is a great fear out here that once you start contributing to a conservative cause, the IRS is going to come after you.
As an individual, you as a person?
Individuals or companies, yes. I think we ought to be able to donate anonymously and to a particular educational cause. Now, if that educational cause happens to promote one candidate more than the other, then I'll be for it either way. But the mainstream media is all on one side. Fox News is on the other. We ought to be able to get other ways of getting information out.
So, I mean, if you think that the IRS is as devious and nefarious to target people for their political donations, then, how would you be able to keep that secret at all if they're that evil?
Well, if I could address this.
Okay, all right, Fred, go ahead.
I would just say to you that if that is what you're doing, contributing money to an organization that is involved in working for a cause, that is not required by law to be disclosed, and it is not being disclosed. The issues that are arising here is when money is being contributed in order to influence elections for expenditures that are being run to support or oppose candidates. And the Supreme Court for 40 years has been made very clear that when you're dealing with campaigns as opposed to issue discussion, if you're dealing with campaign activity, voters have a right to know who is trying to influence their votes. But on the specific example you gave, contributions to any kind of group, and C4 groups are groups that engage in advocacy and education about issues, and can be very active on advocacy and issue education. Whether you're conservative or liberal or moderate, if that's what the group does, your contribution does not have to be disclosed, and it is not being disclosed. The disclosure issue comes into play when you have groups who are trying to influence elections without disclosing the donors who are financing those activities.
All right. So I got another Kathy. I want to get her on the air. Kathy, you're the other Kathy. You're on the air. You there?
Hi there.
Go ahead.
Well, my question is, how do we get this sort of thing, like restricting the ways that groups can have their political stuff completely anonymous and non-taxed? How do we try to make the law stricter, because it seems pretty obvious that congressional officials aren't exactly going to vote against their own lobbyists. It seems like,
well, you know,
having the IRS.
Up until recently, in fact, up until a couple of years ago, prior to a Supreme Court decision called Citizens United, there was a consensus in Congress among Democrats and Republicans that campaign finance disclosure of donors and expenditures, was necessary and appropriate. And we had effective laws, for the most part, to require this disclosure, and it wasn't very controversial. It was only after this court decision that some new C4 organizations were created as vehicles to hide donors financing campaigns. Now, your question, how do we do this? Well, you can do it by legislation, which we have tried to do. While it's gotten majority votes, we still haven't gotten to the point of being able to pass it or to get the kind of bipartisan support you need. You could do it by lawsuits, properly interpreting the IRS and campaign laws, which Democracy 21 has been involved in, or you can do it by regulations like the kind that the IRS has now opened the door to looking at. The problem in Washington these days is it's almost impossible to get anything done on any kind of issues because the divisions are so deep and so polarized that it's very difficult to get things done. But I am confident that ultimately we will solve this disclosure problem, and we will do it without requiring groups whose only purpose is to engage in issue education and issue advocacy to disclose their donors.
Now, going to that division, you know, House Ways and Means Committee Chairman Dave Camp, Republican of Michigan, says he's skeptical about these rules, proposed rules. He says it smacks of the administration trying to shut down potential critics.
Yeah, well, I just disagree with that. I mean, look, there's a political reality here. After this Supreme Court decision, Republicans in Congress who for years had voted for disclosure made a determination that they would get a political advantage out of not having disclosure. So Republicans who for years had been voting in favor of disclosure started voting against it. I don't think this is about the IRS, about the administration trying to get any advantage here. This is about the fact that we have had groups that have been ripping off the tax laws since 2010.
All right, Fred Wertheimer, president of Democracy 21, thank you so much for joining us on The Source and helping us figure out these new proposed tax laws. This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be right back after this NPR news break.